This is 69, the podcast. I'm Dave Haynes. 69 has been covering the digital signage industry since the dawn of man, first online and now as a podcast. This podcast gives me the time to really talk to people about technology and issues, get past the PR and jargon, and into what stuff actually means. I try to help listeners understand why they should care. The podcasts are free and I try to get a new one out weekly, but I travel a lot so sometimes I'll miss a week. The 69 podcast has been gratefully sponsored and supported since the start by Jeremy Gavin and the fine folks at ScreenFeed, the digital signage content store. ScreenFeed makes beautiful looking, totally automated content for signage and digital out-of-home networks. Check them out at ScreenFeed.com. A seemingly oversaturated ecosystem has not stopped more and more companies from entering the digital signage market with their own software solutions. I get lots of email pitches from companies, and admittedly, I do a mental sort, with a bucket for no-hopers and a different one for those I find interesting in some way. Radiant is a VC-funded startup in Silicon Valley that's interesting to me for a few reasons. First, their CEO came from the executive team of Revel Systems, one of the upstarts that has changed the look of point-of-sale systems in small retail. Think of iPads, card taps, and digital signatures instead of those big damn old-school POS machines. I was also intrigued by the company's partnerships, which go off the normal, well-traveled path, and instead feature integrations with companies that do restaurant menu management, KPI data screens, and video conferencing. I also thought these guys are doing a better job than a lot of software companies, who are often just retelling versions of the same old stories. The industry and its customers don't need another What is Digital Signage page. Radiant produces a lot of content, including podcasts that are more than just the sales guy talking to the product manager. Bobby Mohammed, who joined Radiant about a year ago, joined me for a great chat. So Bobby, thanks for joining me. I know very little about Radiant, and I gather it's a reasonably new company in the digital signage ecosystem. Could you give me the background on the company? And it would be really helpful to kind of explain what sets you guys apart from the many, many other companies who are, you know, doing digital signage software.
Absolutely. Absolutely. First of all, thanks for having me. Just to give you a quick glimpse into what Radiant is and what we're up to. I've been personally a part of the company for the last year, leading the company. Prior to this, though, the company has been around for about 2.5 years. In the last year, we've really done a couple of different things. One is we did a rebrand from the name Mira to Radiant. And a part of that also, we are, although we're a digital signage, you know, platform and, you know, advancing the digital science side, we notice that the companies that we work with want something a lot bigger. And that is really creating, you know, phenomenal experiences in brick and mortar locations. So for the last year, we've been focused with talking to these customers and figuring out what that means and how we can create, you know, really experiences on our platform. So now, you know, part of that and the part that's really, I'd say relevant to the brick and mortar operator and what we've started to build is tying in these different things that happen in different locations. So whether you're a retailer, or a restaurateur, and as a restaurateur, you want your point of sale system to talk to your digital signage, you want certain, you know, music to play at a certain hour, you want certain promos to be on the screens. We basically enable all of that and put all of that together to really create that, you know, that again, that phenomenal experience for your customer. And what that does, of course, in turn is creates more loyalty with your customers. It increases your revenue, and you're able to use that to be able to create, you know, this experience that people will remember as they leave your location.
Okay. How would you describe the breadth of the solutions and product offer?
I'd say, we have 18 different industries that we work in right now, but we're really focused on the 6 or 7 industries that, you know, most of our customers sit in. We're a very customer-centric company. And of those 6 or 7 industries, we really try to bring in best-of-breed solutions that tie into to our platform and what our customers demand and what they want in their, you know, their location.
It's primarily content management software?
Primarily, but tied into, you know, other things, right? Tied into, again, right, like music videos, like all these other elements in the store.
And a lot of companies are saying, we can do soup to nuts for you. We can do front-end consulting. We can take you all the way through to deployment. ongoing management and on? Would you describe yourself as turnkey, or are you more focused on the software and the experiential side?
Our goal is to be turnkey through software, right? To be as turnkey as possible with, mm-hmm. you know, same way, the way that I explained it, actually, you know, I was trying to explain this to my 6-year-old the other day, and the same way he gets iPhones now. So my whole thing was the same way that, you know, you receive your iPhone, you could download 5 or 6 or 10 apps and create that, you know, that personal experience on your phone. We like to think of ourselves as the same. You unwrap our hardware, you tie it into your TV, and you can go, you know, look at the different solutions that you can tie together on our platform to be able to create that experience that you're looking for. So very, you know, turnkey, but using software to make it very simple. So an SMB customer can figure things out, you know, quickly, tie things in quickly, because I know, you know, they're focused on a lot of other things that in their business. So creating that really that enterprise experience that you can create in larger stores and making that simple enough for an SMB customer to be able to deploy.
When the company started, was the kind of the mission and charter the same as it is now, or has it kind of pivoted?
No, it's expanded. From the time that we started, again, it was to create really, you know, easy digital signage, a very easy to use digital signage platform, a simple to deploy. You deploy in a few minutes, and you can go on your way to put, you know, messaging on a screen, and that's, you know, transformed into, and we've been listening again to our customers, that's transformed into how do you take that a step farther? And you take that a step farther by what we call creating an experience platform. And that's why we're, you know, we're focused on that.
I would assume that your customers have also told you that, guys, we must have been visited by 30 companies selling software that's simple, easy to use, friendly, all those sorts of things. So, yeah. I suspect when you came into the business, you looked at it and looked at the competition and said to yourself, we need to do a better job of differentiating ourselves.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, one of the things that it's actually interesting that when the company started, a lot of people asked me, you know, when I got involved, what I think was good and what did I think that we have to kind of do differently to be able to listen to our customers. And the part that I think we did really well is we built a very strong, you know, product, had great support. You know, we have the highest NPS if you look at G2, Crowd, and Capterra as far as product standpoint goes in the cloud segment. But the thing that was, you know, I want to call it missing, or the thing that we needed to transform the company into is more of listening to, again, what our customers' needs are as far as being able to differentiate themselves comparable to their competition. And that's a lot of what inspired us to, you know, also transform our platform to be able to create a lot of that stuff for them.
Bouncing around your website, it looks like a lot of the focus, particularly in terms of your marketing and case studies and quote unquote thought leadership, is around retail. Has that always been the case, or is that because you as the CEO kind of comes out of retail in your past life with a point of sale system?
No, that's, you know, our largest base of customers, sit in the retail segment, our second largest sit in the restaurant segment. And with that, we're trying to, you know, again, make sure we give them the tools to be able to, you know, thrive. And, although, you know, again, now, like I'd say the third and fourth industries for us are banking and real estate. And we're trying to also focus on those as well. But you're right to note that, because our largest, you know, customers and segment of customers has been really retail and restaurants, where our content and what we've been able to provide, and a lot of our marketing has been centered on that.
Because you came from point of sale from Rebel Systems, did you have what you would consider a better sense of how retailers operate and what they really need versus what software developers think retailers need?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I can tell you, you know, a lot of people ask me, you got out of, you know, kind of brick and mortar with, you know, with the getting, you know, basically exiting the Rebel business, and why'd you get back into it? And I really fundamentally love, you know, the brick and mortar world. I love restaurants and retail. And, you know, for better or worse, I know right now we're going through tough times across the board, for those segments. But, if we can be helpful in creating solutions, that's what makes me, you know, happy and content. And that's a large portion of, yes, what got me back into making sure that I stay within the industry and can continue to be helpful.
Those two industries in particular are distressed right now. I wouldn't say they all are, but you would imagine a hell of a lot of them are, because of the pandemic and lockdown and capacity controls and everything else.
Yep.
How do you sell into them right now when, you know, they're just trying to hang on by their fingernails?
Yeah. So in the beginning of when we went into the pandemic, a large portion of what we tried to do is we tried to help, again, these segments figure out what to do with their digital signage to be able to continue to attract customers, educate customers, and basically put in use cases that helped them use their digital signage to continue on, you know, and carry on their business. I'd say, you know, kind of fast forward to now where, you know, these businesses have been in, you know, going through the pandemic days for a few months. How we really kind of capture and talk to them is we really look at the use cases that are going to be relevant to them these days. Like, I'll give you an example. Like, we have an outdoor package, you know, that helps restaurateurs really, you know, a lot of restaurateurs are going and having that outdoor type setups now to be able to still, you know, take customers. And so we have an outdoor package that helps them, you know, put menus on the screen, put messaging on the screen, you know, tie into a mobile phone so that people can, you know, get the menu and be able to help order at table and stuff like that. So we're really focused on what solutions can we push out there to be helpful to our customers. You know, and this pandemic has been tough for us, it's been tough for them in the sense of we had to, you know, pivot in our marketing and our messaging and how we go to market to be able to help them. And that's been hard for us as well.
I have found since COVID-19 really broke out that any number of companies have introduced very specific technologies that they have packaged up as solutions to the problem facing retail and small business in general. And I've said on a number of podcasts and Zoom calls and everything else and presentations that my concern about these things are that they are just things in a lot of ways. There's a thermal screener, there's a hybrid screen and hand sanitizing dispenser and on and on and on. Yeah. And I just wonder if the retail market is really interested in buying a thing, or do they want to talk to somebody who can provide a solution? And maybe the solution is with something that already exists, just like software and a screen that's, as you say, putting the menu up on a screen so that you don't have to print menus, or you don't have to wipe down plastic menus and assure people that, yeah, they're wiped down.
Yeah, no, we're actually just talking about this morning with one of our customers, and you know, they were asking us, hey, what technologies do you buy during this time to piece together, you know, the curbside stuff and all the other stuff that they're dealing with. And you know, what we start with always is let's start from the beginning. Who's your customer? What are you trying to do? You know, what's kind of the long-term strategy? Like putting all that together, then we either come out with, here are the solutions that you want to tie in, whether they're with Radiant or, you know, other solutions that you can tie into Radiant. Or, you know, honestly, you know, in some cases, we're not going to be the right fit for you for the next 6 months or a year as you rebuild. Go rebuild and do that, and then we can be helpful at that point. So we take more of a consultative approach in helping figure out, you know, who's your customer, what are you actually trying to achieve, and then piece together technology. Because one of the biggest things that we always say is, you know, just putting on turning on technology to turn on technology and tying in different technology pieces together, where you're not actually, you know, we don't have a strategy, you don't know who you're actually trying to attract, who your customer is, those fundamentals, you're not doing yourself or your business any good.
You mentioned earlier the value of having integration with other applications. Again, coming out of point of sale and kind of with Revel, they kind of turned the whole idea of point of sale on its head by going from, you know, big iron, big bulky machines to using iPads and things like that.
Yep.
And part of the answer, I suspect, with Revel was, yes, we're in a world now where we can easily integrate with different systems and inventory management systems and everything else. Does the same sort of thing apply here? If you're going to be relevant in the B2B market for retail and restaurants and so on, you need to be able to easily tie in with other systems?
Yeah, a big part of the strategy at Revel was, you know, point of sale is the central nervous system of a location. But What happens outside of that is all these other dispersed, you know, technologies that you're trying to use and trying to manage. And so a large portion, you know, of our success there is, you know, listening to our customers and them saying, hey, I'm using these five solutions in my store, none of which talk to each other, but I'm using them to try to get, you know, 1% out of each of them so I can advance my business. And part of our success was tying those in together and really making it a cohesive system for them, whether it was tying in like a loyalty partner, gift card partner, and all that good stuff into one platform that talks to each other. Part of our, you know, success at Radiant is very, very, very similar in the sense that right now, when you walk into a location, whether you walk into a location or whether you want to walk into a location, that experience from the beginning is important, and how those things talk to each other and tie into each other is important. As an example, you know, there's lots of cases where in the restaurant world in particular, I run out of something on my POS, and a simple thing of, you know, that not transferring over to the digital signage board where that item, you know, gets 86'd off the menu and it's still on the digital signage board. So, you know, customers come up and ask me about that. That's a simple thing, right? But tying those two things together makes it, you know, a lot better of an experience. I can push out promos a lot easier. I can do things a lot easier when these things are talking to each other. And so that's a large part of what we've seen our customers have success with.
Right. You're working with some things like menu systems to kind of simplify that process. Was it a case of those companies coming to you? I'm thinking of like, I don't know if it's, is MenuNet, it's Trayvon or Trayvon's MenuNet?
Trayvon. Yep, Trayvon.
Yeah. Did they come to you, or did you see this as, you know, we need to integrate with that sort of thing?
I can tell you it was mutual. A large portion of our larger customers were using Trayvon system. And in using Trayvon system, they were also adopting Radiant. And, you know, we came together as two companies and said, oh, we have this many mutual customers, and this is, you know, benefiting, you know, to give you a little bit of a glimpse of what Trayvon does. Trayvon is the largest print manufacturer of menus in the U.S. for, you know, enterprise customers. And, you know, they're in mid-market and SMB as well, but really kind of focused on enterprise at a high level. And, you know, the biggest part of that is now as we make any sort of, you know, menu changes, or we make any sort of planogram changes, or we make any sort of, you know, print kind of design changes, we can push that out on digital signage, and it can be better for our customers, better for the environment, better for all that. So we came together and created this combined solution. You still have to complement that with their solution. You still have to complement, you know, print with digital, but it's more cost effective for their customers. It's a better experience for their end users, and, you know, ties in together really well.
Hi, I'm Jeremy Gavin, CEO of ScreenFeed. Now, I'm not put off by the fact that you're not listening to this podcast to hear me. Just like audiences to any digital signage, you give your attention to content you find interesting or helpful. That's where my company ScreenFeed comes in. Our sole mission is to make your digital signage network more valuable by making content that is more valuable to your audience. If you'd like to drive more attention to your screens, visit screenfeed.com to explore the 75 plus content options we've created to do just that. And then give us a call. Now, back to the podcast.
You have since then, or maybe concurrently, integrated with a number of other different kinds of systems. I've written in the past about Poster My Wall and done a podcast with them. So yeah. You know, it's content templates, but you're now integrated with like Blue Jeans for video conferencing and a company called Hoopla. Can you tell me about that?
Absolutely. So Hoopla is actually very interesting. We have a new virtual room product that we just launched about a month ago. And that virtual room product ties in video conferencing, content, and, you know, services on top of that. When I say services, it's music and other services that are tied in into one platform. And one of the biggest asks from our customers was, hey, we have the video conferencing, we have the whiteboarding, we have the content all in one place. What's missing is if I could go and, you know, put KPIs for my sales team on the screen as well as I'm having that video conference, or if I could go put company KPIs on the bottom of the screen for all my team to know. And especially relevant during these, you know, these days of the pandemic where people are working from home. It's been very relevant. So tying that in together. So we, again, went out to search and realized that Hoopla does own, you know, is the best of breed product out in the space. And so in having a talk with their management team, decided that the two companies come together. And what's happened out of that also has been a lot of other, you know, use cases that have come from that. We are working in, you know, kind of tying in other solutions for the office environment, which only happened because we went into the pandemic. Otherwise, our focus has always been, you know, kind of brick and mortar. But what we created for the brick and mortar side has been very relevant to the office side, and an integration with Hoopla completes that productivity tool.
So what's the primary thrust behind Virtual Room?
So Virtual Room is envisioned, you know, we can't be in the office. So what happened initially, though, I'll kind of start from the beginning, is initially we had brick and mortar operators come to us and say, hey, listen, you know, I own a hardware store and, you know, in the middle of my lumber aisle, I want to put, you know, a virtual agent type setup where someone, you know, customer can walk up and they can hit a button and they can interact with, you know, someone sitting in my corporate office that knows all about lumber, right? And can basically be the expert there, because I can't have a lumber expert at every store. So, you know, given that, that's what initially, you know, sparked our Virtual Room product, being able to go on, have on-demand video tied into content. So if I say, hey, go to aisle 6 and, you know, get that lumber, I can also put some specifics about that lumber on the screen as well as I'm interacting with that customer. And I can also tie in a QR code on the bottom of that if they wanted to, you know, scan that and learn more about that lumber or purchase on their phone or whatever the case may be. So that was the initial, you know, I want to call it quote unquote birth of our Virtual Room product. And then, you know, again, what's transformed into these days of, you know, going into COVID and the pandemic has been offices saying, hey, my team is now remote. And I want to mimic that same, you know, in-office experience, even though we can't be in the office. So our, you know, our Virtual Room product is a perpetual video product. It's always on. And with that, we've created an office product tied into Hoopla where, you know, you can be in different rooms and interact with different people as if you're in the office. You can get, you know, content pushed back and forth. You can double click on someone and go have a personal meeting and then come back into the main room as if you're in the office. And all that tied in together to productivity and motivation stats and KPIs that Hoopla provides on top of that.
Hmm. So at that point, you're starting to compete with the Zoom companies of the world that have quasi digital science products as well, right?
Zoom is actually a partner. We haven't put this on the site, so you're hearing this first. But, you know, we started with BlueJeans. Zoom is a new partner as well. So no, we're not trying to be a video conferencing player by any means. We're actually trying to embed video conferencing into our product. And, you know, I know Zoom also has a, you know, very, very light digital signage product, but the Virtual Room product essentially works completely different where, you know, you have content on the screen. You can basically slice up the screen into different zones, if you will. Content on the screen together with video conferencing, together with, I can do news flashes and push out information to my team, talk about happy hours if I wanted to. So putting that all together is basically your productivity tool for, you know, the remote world.
Right. And your platform is built around something called a ScreenRay, which by the looks of it is a Linux-based PC stick. Is that right?
You're correct. Yep, absolutely.
Those things have been around for a number of years. I've always been intrigued by them. I know a few companies that use them, but I've always kind of worried that, you know, they're kind of cheap and dirty and will they last and everything else. But I've seen enough companies using them that they seem to be happy with them. And how much of a journey was it to come across something that you guys could put out there and say, okay, this is the mothership. This is what we're going to use.
Yeah. Our hardware is only our enabler to, you know, our software really. And yes, a good number of companies use the Intel sticks. We're actually in the works of creating our own proprietary stick that still uses, you know, Intel's processing and all that good stuff, but is more proprietary so we can control a little bit more of it. We can have it built in and all that good stuff. So we are envisioning and we are in the build mode of getting that out to the market. But, you know, the Intel sticks have been very reliable. And a lot of what our secret sauce happens in the cloud and on our software. So hardware is really the enabler and it's been very consistent for our customers.
Now for companies such as yours, I would say broadly, those who are chasing retail, and particularly small to medium business retail and other similar kinds of businesses that get public foot traffic, they tend to be SaaS companies that are at a certain price tier, and sometimes referred to as the race to the bottom or commodity pricing.
Yep.
I looked at your pricing and it's not like that at all. if anything, I would say it's on the high side. And I'm curious about that, how that resonates with people. And my gut tells me it's probably not a problem.
It's not a problem. It's not a problem for the customers that really, truly, you know, believe in building experience in their location. If you simply want to put a picture on a screen or put a flyer on a screen or whatever the case is, there's a lot of solutions out there that you can go get that are going to be cheaper than ours, right?
Yeah.
But we 100% want to work with customers to create experiences. And our platform for creating that experience is actually, you know, relatively very affordable. But our focus is really those customers that understand that experiences are paramount to having longevity in retail and restaurants and all the brick and mortar type industries.
One of the other things that struck me in banging around the site was you have a lot of content on there, a lot of self-generated content. You have your own podcasts with a very polished looking podcast presentation. I listened briefly to one of them. So you're spending the money on content and effective marketing. Is that just kind of how it works when you're out in Silicon Valley and San Francisco, that it's part of the DNA? That's what you do?
I think it's a part of the DNA of what I believe, right? I believe in being very helpful to our customers, and I think that'll pay back in helping us, you know, grow as a company. And so a large portion of what we do is exactly what you said. And even during the kind of the pandemic days, we even took more of a focus of that, accelerated a lot of the content we pushed out there, accelerated a lot of the interviews that we're doing for the podcast to be able to give relevant information back to our customers. And we think that's going to, you know, pay dividends back.
How do you get known?
That's tough, right? It's tough especially when you're, you know, we rebranded again about a year ago. But a large portion is our cut right now at this point, at least. I could say a good majority of our business is through referrals. So us pushing out the content, us pushing out and being helpful in the space has paid dividends in the sense that we're getting customers to come to us, we're getting customers to buy from us, we're getting customers to talk to other customers about us. And you know, that is one of those things that day in and day out is something that we're focused on continuing to do to be able to build more of that brand. Because, you know, there's of course legacy providers in the space that have well-known brand names. No one gets fired by, you know, bringing on a well-known kind of legacy provider. But what you don't get is you don't get the innovation. You don't get, you know, things working as fast as what we do. And so we're really focused on building the brand with focused on what our customers want and need.
I'm curious, a year ago when you were looking at joining the company, I suspect you would have either not known very much about digital signage, or maybe you did, but did you kind of look at the marketplace and wonder, okay, this is awfully crowded. There's a lot of people saying essentially the same thing. Do I want to get involved in this? And I always wonder how much of a struggle it is for startups to kind of cut through.
Yeah, that's a great question. So a year ago, to answer your question, I did not know almost anything about digital signage. So it was very new to the industry. But as I looked at the industry, you're right. There's a lot of companies providing digital signage solutions. But as you kind of dig deeper, taking my experience from the Revel days and hearing what I heard with restaurants and retail specifically, and doing a good amount of research, and I actually, before I even you know took the role here, I did speak to 50 customers that are using digital signage. Not all were Radiant customers, but all across the board. And then talking to them, you kind of heard the same common theme. There's solutions out there, but there is no this one solution that brings everything together into one experience. And that's why, you know, the aha moment went off in my head. And I thought, you know, if we can create this really phenomenal experience and do it at a very low cost and be able to help these brick and mortar operators, you know, basically create the same shine that they can do online. You can go online and you can create a lot of this schnazziness with websites and social and all that good stuff. Why can't we create the same thing in store? And so that's what intrigued me with joining the company.
How much coaching do you have to do to your customers? Because there's lots of people who make the investment in technology and then it just kind of sits there. And I've been involved in this a long time. I don't know how many retail environments I've walked into and looked at the screens and thought, oh dear God,
Why did they bother? And yes, you have all these templates from Poster My Wall and access to other content, but do they use it? And how do you get them to use it?
That's a great question as well. You know, on the back end, we can see, you know, how often these screens are being updated. And not like all businesses don't have to always update screens, but we can see that our customer success team actually takes that very, you know, seriously, in the sense of reaching out and saying, hey, can I help you, you know, create maybe a summer special or whatever the case may be, depending on the business, right? So that's one of the areas that we do focus a lot of our time on. We do have the integration with Poster My Wall, which is great. They have 150,000 plus templates, so a lot of templates to choose from. But content is the hardest part on digital signage. And that's the part that either, you know, you have a full department doing it, or you have one or two people focused on it, or to your point, you never get to it. And you just have that one thing that you put up there when you first started the business, and you're never updating. So we make it our you know, problem to be able to, you know, again, reach out and make sure that they're always, you know, updating content if they want to, and making it very relevant to the messaging they want to push out to their customers.
Mm-hmm. You're in the land of venture capitalists, and I know that you're VC funded. You had around, I believe, $7 million last fall.
Yep.
Is it easier because you're out there to tap into VC funding, or is it actually harder because there's a lot of competition?
There's a lot. It's a lot harder, and you know, digital signage is not sexy to investors. We are, of course, in what we're creating as an experience platform. We are attracting investors that we typically wouldn't if we were just focused on a digital signage, you know, segment, and that was our only kind of focus area. So it is harder in this in the valley, especially because there's so many pitches going on, so many companies. Also, like you said, in the digital signage space particularly, but with our differentiation, what we're doing, you know, we're actually, you know, the next few months going to go talk to new investors about, you know, our next round of funding. And I think they're going to be impressed with, you know, what's happened in the business and continue to grow.
With COVID-19 being a bit of a wild card in terms of how long this is going to last, and, you know, certainly creating a lot of trepidation for business operators, where do you think you're at in 6 months to a year?
You know, I can tell you just very candidly, we have, you know, we were pre-pandemic, we were, you know, growing at 200% to our number. During the pandemic, we're right on par with, you know, 100-110% to our, you know, to our numbers, right? So we've slowed down for sure, but we have not, you know, we have not got to a place where we think that anything is detrimental to our business. We're continuing to work with our customers, continue to provide value there, and, you know, kind of taking it day by day, to be very honest with you. As things change, we're trying to be very helpful.
Yeah, I've certainly heard from a number of software companies who've, if they operate on a software as a service basis, they've had any number of small businesses, small restaurants, and so on, saying, "Hey, guys, you know, we're not open. We need to trim back our costs any way we can. Can we just kind of skip paying our subscription until we actually need it?"
Yep.
How have you handled that?
Yeah, there's been a percentage of our business that's gone through that, you know, especially in areas where they're completely closed or continue to be closed, or have, you know, opened back up and then got closed again. So I'd say there's a percentage of our business that's paused. But high level, there's other ways to use digital signage to be very helpful. Like in your windows is one way, you know, outdoor signage is another. So there's multiple ways, depending on the business, to be able to still provide a lot of value with digital signage. And we help our customers figure that out. If they can, they're really in a place where they need to pause, we'll of course allow them to do that.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much for spending some time with me. Just one final question. If people want to know more, where do they go online?
Oh, sure. They can come to radiant.com. It's RAYDIANT.com. And I always say this, and people say, why are you giving out your email? But yeah, you know, if anyone ever wants to contact me, Bobby@radiant.com, always happy to provide any information that I can.
Okay, great. Thanks again.
That's it for this week's episode. I hope you enjoyed it and you learned a thing or two. If you're new to 16.9, it's a podcast that's been around since 2016. You can click around the site and find scores of conversations with smart industry folks. If you're new to digital signage, you need to be reading 16.9. That's at 16-9.net. You'll find thousands of posts by me and expert guest writers about this industry. I don't run a press release republishing mill.
If something makes it on 69, that means it matters in some way to the business. Everything about 69 is free. Great sponsors make my work possible, and one of those is podcast sponsor ScreenFeed. Check them out at screenfeed.com. 69 is a product of Vertical Media Consulting Group, the massive media empire I run out of a spare room in my house, now located outside Halifax, Nova Scotia, on the east coast of Canada. Thanks for listening. I'm Dave Haynes.